What is this shift?
We're recording.
Should we get this party started?
Let's do
All
it. Bam, 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 bam,
right. Welcome.
bam.
We gonna have a good time tonight.
Welcome, Shifties.
Shift hit the fan.
And shifties.
Where we talk about what the tarot wants us to talk about. And today we gonna have a potluck tonight. We've got the Page of Cups and the Ten of Cups. And then the hidden energy is the Page of Pentacles. And the reason I called it a potluck is because these two pages are bringing stuff to the party.
Earth and water, everything you need for growth and abundance and a harvest, a solid harvest.
Pentacles and cups. So many cups. Underneath that is the Queen of Cups. That's funny. I just noticed that. That underneath the Page of Pentacles was the Queen of Cups. You want to say something while Brian clocks in?
Well, I feel like it's pretty simple, but earlier today I was reading on Threads and someone said that the path is always laid before us, or that we have to simply let the path like create itself. We have to let it just present itself, and I think it's very much in that thought of the present moment. Abundance is found in the present moment. There's infinite possibility right here, right now. There's infinite resource to do something. Maybe not the thing that we have in our mind that we want to do, but we could take a step towards that and then another step towards that and continue to step in these places of just blind faith of we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what's coming next. We don't know what is being produced in front of us. And so we keep taking that step into the future, that step into the present moment, and finding that abundance that is life, that is experience, that is growth. And I think we have to, when we look at the pentacles and the cups, the pentacles is very much our body. What is our body experiencing? What is it giving to us? And how is it interacting with this earthly life that we have? And the water is the fluid motion that allows everything to turn, that allows everything to start growing, to integrate into each other. And then we get that 10 of cups, and we get to just harvest this moment. We get to rejoice in this moment and see how much we have and how much this experience is giving us. And that's not to like downplay anything, any suffering that's happening in our life or in anybody else's life. That suffering happens, and that's awful. But also, it's also a part of this life that we. Buddha said that life is suffering, and you can go with that, or and say, yeah, I'm just going to suffer for the rest of my life, or you'd shift perspectives and shift your consciousness. And that's something I've been playing with a lot lately too, is that idea of shifting my consciousness. I had this beautiful gift where if I am like how deep I can put myself into something, how deep my consciousness can dive into a concept or an image or whatever. Like if I am really, really sick, I know that I can go watch a TV show and my consciousness will be completely absorbed into that TV show. And it's just like the sick never happened. It's just like it just disappeared the entire time I was watching. And I've been thinking about that ability I have, and it's my ability to shift what my focus is and what my consciousness is focused on. And if we think about the ego, the self, what our self is in this life, it's simply that essence of consciousness, what we bring into focus, what we bring into our conscious mind. And so if we put that suffering that's happening in front of us, this pain or this discomfort or the sadness, grief, anger, whatever's happening, if that is our center point, if that's the thing that's screaming loudest to us, or we're allowing to scream loudest to us, then we're going to suffer. We're going to have those miserable experiences. But if we can shift our perspective into all the other things that exist in that same moment, if I'm thinking about stick work, which is the body work I do, if I'm stabbing a stick into myself, that hurts a lot, that creates a lot of sensation, a lot of pain. But then if we can start to focus on other parts of the body, like moving our fingertips or moving our toes and realizing that my right knee isn't hurting nearly as bad as this, you just shift what's being present. And suddenly the harvest of the present moment starts to come forth. And everything shifts, that movement, that flow, and that experience, that choice to just not suffer can shift.
It's funny that for you, watching TV is what, brings you into that future of the sickness being gone. But for me, it amplifies, because I have specific reactions with the light from the screen. It burns my eyes and all this, so I start thinking about all the other things that are going wrong, and I can't pay attention to the show. But another thing that I thought about, I smiled as you said it, you can go with this or you can go with that, so I'm like, you can go with this or you can go with that, I'm like, that's why I started bouncing around. You can go with this or you can go with that. You can go with this that's in the hidden, or which one was the hidden? I already forgot. The hidden.
Pentacles was in.
Yeah, so you can go with what's hidden. You can go with what's in the what's trying to come out, what's running the show, or you can go with what's in the forefront, which, for me would be the emotions and the and whatever I'm translating those emotions into, into the feelings, the meaning and all that that I make of it. And another thing that I thought about, well, was I remembered my story finally, of what I can't, what I got out of looking at this, because it's like what I've been dealing with personally is the evolution of this, the cups. I've got the King of Cups that's trying to come to life from this situation. That's one of the three cards that came for me in what I'm trying to work through. This one comes out for me a lot too, because I woke up singing that song, Celebrate Good Times. And as I was shuffling the cards, that's what came out, was a celebration. And it was a reminder to, with that, connected to that song, you can go with this or you can go with that. You can go with standing in the future fulfilled, like what you want to have happen. You want to bring in all of the emotions, the experience of the celebration of having your thing, living it as if it's here and now. Because you don't need to have the the thing tangible for you to experience, the things that you want to get out of it, which is the celebration of it. You don't have to have a reason to celebrate to celebrate. You don't have to have the money in your hand to experience, experience the idea of wealth. We know, or having money. You have the memory of it. You can conjure it up. You can remember what it feels like. And while you're in that, while you're in that memory of it, your brain doesn't know that it's not happening right now. It experiences it as the reality of it, and that's kind of the feeling I get of the Ten of Cups, is a celebration of something that's the fulfillment of whatever it is. And it's like the page is telling me to call it in. Call in this celebration. Call in the experience of it. Call in, you have your little messenger of the sea, like your fish in the cup. You're gonna tell it all of those secrets. Say, hey, go into my emotions and call forth these things. It's a conversation that I've been having with Brian lately of wanting that experience, no longer looking for the memories of the past unless they're asking to be healed. I don't need to remember who I was, how I got here, and all that. I want to remember experiences that actually serve me from the future, because it's all happening right now. It's always right now. There is no future, there is no past until we bring it into the now. So the future can be the now if we learn to call on it and have it live in our body as a right now experience. The end.
I really liked what you're saying with this thought of, I recall what you were saying exactly, but the way that I saw it was just this ability to imagine the feeling of money, or the feeling of having something in our life. And I have had such a vivid imagination recently. Like, it's just been insane. Like, I'm thinking about my dream last night. I had a bit of a rough night's sleep, and finally started going to sleep, and I started dreaming of wasps. And my daughter was laying next to me, and I was like afraid that the wasps were going to get her, and like they were starting to wake up and all these things, and I could vividly see the wasps. And it was crazy how real that felt in my body. And even not even that, but in a lot of my meditations lately has been just going off into very far off places from where I am, and feeling all of those things that are happening inside my own body. And we do this all the time. Maybe we're not great at visualization. Or maybe we have different senses that we use, but our mind is constantly imagining some sensation that's happening to us. And I think so rare, I think there's a select few of us who are not imagining and creating something outside of this reality. And I think that's kind of something to remember, is to just question our reality. Are we suffering? And if we're suffering, then question the narrative, question the thing that we have created inside our mind, and see if we can shift that sensation. See if we can bring to mind a different image or a different sensation. Can we remember a smell that we used to love, or bring us back to some, create those images inside of ourselves? And as my trainer with Stickworks is always talking about is that he's always talking about reconditioning the body, reconditioning the mind and the body to be in a happy present state. And I think that's what this is talking about, is that we have that ability through our body and through the energy that's flowing through our body. We have that ability to direct the energy and create a different experience than the condition that we're used to experiencing. But it takes a lot of desire to let go of those the suffering that we're so used to defining ourselves with.
Yeah, I thought of SpongeBob with this, and you were talking about imagination. That's immediately what came to mind because you know that imagination. exactly what I thought of. And it's perfect because it is, we want to focus on the imagination more because people are creating narratives all the time for us. And you know, just this morning, I was in that narrative conversation with a friend of ours, and they have their narrative and what they've been hooked by. I have my narrative of what I've been hooked by. We're both emotional, we're both sick, and we're coming at each other with this weight that we're feeling because we're so hooked by opposite sides of this these narratives of this same, you know, thing that's going on in the world right now. But they're meant to do that. They're meant to distract us from. Because even if you're on the right side of history, even if you've gotten all of the information, you've educated yourself, you've gone through this, they still add that element of fear so that you feel the urgency to act on their behalf and forget that that person that you're talking to is your friend, is your you know, is not on the opposite side of where you are. That's you. We are one. So being at odds, it's funny because the way that the cards are laying right now, these two guys are facing away from each other. But when I bring them onto the screen, they're facing. which is another perfect image of what I'm trying to say is like what's reflected, what I'm putting out there is that they're unified, but when I set it aside, it's got a whole other narrative and a whole other story to it. We are creators. We can't forget that. And it's really easy to get hooked into other people's narratives, whether it's something that you've experienced personally or that you've just been hooked into for whatever reason, we can still create something outside of that narrative by using that imagination. SpongeBob, which is another reminder.
Yeah.
Like what I was saying is there's a lot of youth in this. In these images, the pages are young. There are two kids there in the party. It's a potluck. Everybody's bringing something, but they're all getting along, and the parents even look young, right? because of the image that they're looking at. That's whatever it is that you're looking at is going to give you how youthful you look too.
Yeah.
Because it gives you life for your
Yeah,
mind.
the alchemical fountain of youth is inside of you.
Yeah.
You know, it's not out there. And if you read the book The Alchemist, such a beautiful book, but he goes on this quest to find his personal treasure, his personal legend. And he goes out, and his personal legend being like him being creating the legend inside of himself. And he's going out to discover this treasure that's out there for him. And this journey leads him all the way out, just huge distance away in Egypt from Spain, where he started in. And he gets to the pyramids only to find out that his treasure was right where he began, right where he was already, right where he was already, he already started, right where he was shepherding in the middle of Spain. And he knew that place well. And that's the same with us. That fountain of youth is inside of us. And can we alchemize our inside, our imagination, what we're looking at? Because all of the things that, you're talking about people, what people feed us, all of those things that people are feeding us, we have to create inside of our mind. We might try to see eye to eye to somebody, but we're still going to see very differently than they are. We might just be using similar language to be able to communicate similarly. But what's inside of our mind and our own experience is so unique compared to everyone else. And so we try to, people try to get our attention. They try to get us on their side, but really they're just trying to project themselves onto the world. And we're trying to suck all that in so often, or we're trying to project ourselves out there as well. And we forget that that is our own unique experience. And if we love that experience, then we get to cherish that. And if we don't love that, and if we're suffering from it, then create something different. My own policy with politics is like, I don't really care to create that strife inside of me. And so I just don't. It's just not something that I care to have as a part of my world. And so I like, that's my own inner creation of what brings me joy? What do I want to create inside of myself to bring myself joy, to bring myself into that harvest? And it's a constant battle because we get so used to having that condition of some sort of suffering, grief, sadness, anger, whatever that is. Like that's what's fed us for such a long time from, the abuse from our parents or from whatever this is, that has fueled us, pushed us forward. And simply because we haven't had any other way of knowing, we haven't created something different. No one showed us that we could do something different with ourselves. But we have that ability to just recreate the things that are inside our mind. And I love that that's what you're doing right now. You're recreating. You're reshaping and reconditioning your mind and your body to be something completely different than it was before.
Yeah, and I actually take a different approach, right? Because I do watch the news. I do get really interested in what people are experiencing and all this, because there's an element of me also wanting to reconnect to my roots and understand, what it is that's keeping me tethered to certain things. Like, why can I manifest so easily in certain areas of my life, but there's other areas that like seem impossible to me? Well, that's, connected to the indigenous roots, right? So I want to understand what's going on in the world, because that's telling me what's happening in my body and where my own inner struggle is. So that's where my growth is coming from, is in learning and educating, and then learning what to do with it. How, how can I transmute this? How can I help others heal from it as well? How can I help guide people out of the darkness that they're in, by learning to get myself out of that darkness? I used to have this one recurring vision a lot in a dream, where I was at the bottom of this trench, like very, very deep trench. And there's well, I wasn't at the bottom. I was in the middle, hanging on to a rope, and I could easily climb up to where, my girlfriend is, like calling me to come up. But I see all these people down on the ground. They're suffering, they're asking for help, they're wanting, they're like, and I can't leave them. I can't leave them alone to suffer, right? And I feel like that's been the roots asking me to heal, because the more I do this work, I finally stopped having that vision. I got not only myself but everybody out of that trench. And I walked around at the bottom, like finally free, like knowing that there's nothing in that trench that I can't pull out, that I can't uproot, that I'm not going to leave anything dead and suffering and all that, because I have that the future in mind. I know that I can easily climb that rope and get to the top. I know now that I can pull all the people out. I'm no longer stuck in the middle. That's a years long vision that I've had, because I finally learned how to access, the depth. Like I, at the beginning of this whole journey for me, this workers' comp situation, there's a strong feeling that I got when I needed to turn off the lights and just be in my room, and this became my bedroom. I had that feeling like my growth is going to be in the dark. This is where my strength is going to be. And so that's what I've been following, is like keeping myself in the dark, learning to transmute it, learning to heal it. And so that's why I keep myself listening to what's pulling at me, but always remembering too that I'm here to heal it. I'm here to, because that's what's gonna help me heal my body, and I've been able to heal a lot of things with that approach, but that's specific to me, and I would never judge somebody who's not taking that approach, because that's not their path. I can't understand why you're feeling called to do the approach that you're doing, and I'm feeling called to do this approach. There, none of neither approach is better. I'm not going to create a whole course around, the my approach, because it's not going to work for everybody. You've got to be like really spiritually bold and strong, and know you can handle something like this. And I wouldn't ask anybody to go through those trenches the way that I do, because it's intense, and I'm just intense. I know I'm intense enough to and strong enough mentally to go through it. I was even just talking to my aunt last night and catching her up on my life and what I've been through, and she's like, "Jesus, it's a miracle that you're still alive." I'm like, "Yeah." If you knew the things that I have survived, you've just gotten a little glimpse of it. But these experiences are why I have such a strong faith in I'm gonna get through this as well. Because there's things that should be, supernatural, physically impossible, supposedly, according to other people's narratives and rules of nature, that I don't abide by. I don't buy into those narratives, and my faith is unshakable. And these are just reminders of being that playful, being that that grounded in the future fulfilled, no matter what's going on, because these pages are calling in. That's what, when I see the page, I see somebody's calling in this. They're gonna go get it. And that's what there is to do. There's two pages, and calling in the earth and the water, calling in the physical and the emotional, to have that future fulfilled. Good job, Brian. Thanks for clocking in.
Well, and I think that's the beauty of it, is that we're all on a very unique journey, a very unique path. And that's why in like The Alchemist, they call it his personal legend. What is your personal legend? What legend will you create it for yourself in this life? And for me, it's very much called to the individual. Like, I am not called to the public space. And I need to work with a one-on-one person, because that's where I help people the best. And for me, it's also keeping myself clean of the politics, so that I can see the person, no matter what they believe in or how they feel. I can go in there and say, "I see you. I see what you're holding on to, and I see what you're feeling, and and what's existing inside you.
Mm-hmm.
And each person's going to have that unique capability inside of them. What is calling to them? Are they called to fight for the Native Americans? Are they called to fight for whatever it is? What is their battle? What is their calling that their soul is calling for? I don't know if you want to call it a higher calling or whatever, but we each have that own journey that we're going to take, and it's just up to us to follow it and to whittle down the voices that keep telling us that we are a certain way, and for us to identify our own true self. What is actually inside of us, and what do we want to experience with it? How do we want to create this life and create the experience itself? That's really what this life is. It's just an experience, a conscious experience inside of this body, creating all sorts of craziness.
I thought the man, the myth, and the legend when you
I've got a cup that says that.
it's perfect. It's the man, the myth they follow, and their legend, their personal legend.
Yeah.
It's completely different than what it's probably trying to say. It's reframed it to fit this because it's perfect. Yeah.
Go find your legend.
Yeah,
Go be your legend.
legend. You are a legend.
Yeah.
Remember, we are not each other's enemies. The narrative is the enemy. Just kidding. Kinda depends on,
There can be.
yeah, if you allow yourself to get hooked into it, yeah, and forget that we are one. We're siblings in this, and the narratives are there to separate us and make us forget that we're one, that we have a lot more power.
Yep. Don't be limited because you are a dang magical being.
Yeah.
Burst into sparks.
Better together. Love you, Shifties.
Love y'all. Huggins.
End.
And not biggity dang.
Was good.
That was good.
Let the shift hit the fan, let the shift hit the fan.